Morning, you have your Bible. Lord, I've got to turn in my scripture. I invite you to turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, the verse 24. 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 24. And I'm going to read the first part of this story. And this is one of those strange sections in the Bible where the gentleman who was making the divisions for chapters was doing it on horseback. And doing so, the horse must have moved, because verse 24 really should have been a separate chapter in itself. So I'm going to start 24 and go a little bit to the next chapter and stop there, and then we'll continue the story. So again, this is 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning with verse 24. Right. Hear now these words. Sometime later, King Ben-Hadad of Aram mustered an entire army, and he marched against Samaria and laid siege to it. As the siege continued, famine in Samaria became so great that a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver, and 1/4 of a cob of dove's dung for 5 shekels of silver. Now, as the king of Israel was walking on the city wall, a woman cried out to him, "Help, my lord king." He said, "No, let the Lord help you. How can I help you? From the threshing floor, from the winepress?" But then the king asked her, "What is your complaint?" She answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give up your son. We will eat him today. We will eat my son tomorrow.' So we cooked my son and ate him. The next day I said to her, 'Give up your son. We will eat him.' But she has hidden her son." When the king heard the words of the woman, he tore his clothes. Now, since he was walking on the city wall, the people could see that he had sackcloth on his body underneath. And he said, "So may God do to me and more, if the heads of Elijah, son of Shaphat, stay on his shoulders today." So he dispatched a man from his presence. Now Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. Before the messenger arrived, Elisha said to the elders, "Are you aware that this murderer has sent someone to take off my head? When the messenger comes, see you shut the door and hold it closed against him. It's not the sound of his master's feet behind him." While he was still speaking with him, the messenger came down to him and said, "The trouble is from the Lord. Why shall I hope in the Lord any longer?" But Elisha said, "Hear the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time a measure of choice meal shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, at the gate of Samaria." Then the captain on whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God, "Even the Lord were to make windows in the sky, because such a thing happened." But Elisha said, "You shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat from it." My friends, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, this chapter starts with a very terrifying situation of war and starvation. Once again, the kingdom of Aram is attacking the kingdom of Israel, and they have laid a siege around Samaria, where no food is coming in. That'd be like, for example, if our enemies came in and capture, say, Nashville, and they cut off I-40 and all the highways going to Nashville. That means no trucks full of groceries coming in can feed the people of Nashville. And then you have to start rationing your food, and be a matter of time before starvation breaks out. And that is precisely what happens in the land of Samaria. While the king of Aram has Samaria surrounded, food is disappearing, and the price of food is getting higher and higher and higher. Now, we know a little bit about that, don't we? When you look at the grocery store the past few years, with inflation. Remember back in high school days, talking about inflation? Inflation is when you got too much money chasing too few goods. And I used to teach high school economics. I would use eBay as an example, right? on eBay, you put some out that folks like. And I think I said back then I used concert tickets. And a bunch of folks want them and they start bidding on it. Then that price goes up. Well, here, they're not bidding on concert tickets. They're buying food. Talk about how a donkey's head. Well, that sounds delicious. So for 80 shekels, okay? Crazy high price. The thing that somebody would spend 80 shekels for a donkey's head. But that's how desperate they were. It so happens one day the king of Israel was walking on his wall there. And that'd be like in our culture, you know, the president walking by that fence by the White House. And this woman says, "Oh, Lord, King, help me, help me." He looks at her and says, "You better cry to God. How can I help you? You know, I can't do anything." But then he felt better himself and thought, well, that was kind of harsh. He said, "Well, honey, what's your problem?" And then she tells this awful story, terrible story. The people are getting so desperate, they're now resorting to cannibalism. And when the king hears this, he rents his royal robe. And underneath, he has that sackcloth. And that's when folks begin to realize is how upset he's been about this situation. And then he gets very angry. And whom does he blame? He blames the prophet. Look, listen to what he says. "So may God do to me more at the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, stays on his shoulders today." And so he dispatched a man from his presence. Okay. And he sends a guy, says, "Go down and find Elisha. Cut his head off. This is his fault. He's all that's going on." Well, meanwhile, Elisha's just inside his house with his little prophet buddies. And Elisha's cool as cucumber there says, "Boys, you better lock that door. Somebody's going to come try to cut my head off." You know? I think I run. That was me. But, you know, it's Elisha. He doesn't run. And then talks about the messenger is coming and the one he sends not far behind, and depending what version you read, some versions say the messenger got there, some say he was the king, you know, and maybe the messenger got there first and the king, you know, the Hebrew's a little tricky there. Okay, anyway, but the message is still the same, that the trouble is from the Lord. Why should I hope in the Lord any longer? Prophet, why should we hope in the Lord? The Lord is not his people to starve to death, go hungry. They're resorting to cannibalism. God doesn't care about us. If he was, he'd done something by now. And so often in our own lives, you will find yourself in a bad situation, sticky situation, no good options. And your friends look at you and say, "I don't know why he's still going to church. God doesn't care about him. If God really cared about you, he wouldn't be facing that trouble." But, you know, when you read the Bible in its entirety, it lets you know that many are the afflictions of the righteous. God never promised his people an easy road. But he promised that he would walk with us down that road all the way. And then Elijah said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Tomorrow about this time, a measure of choice meal shall be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, at the gate of Samaria." And then it says, "The captain on whom the hand the king leaned on said to the man of God, even the Lord were to make windows in the sky, could such a thing happen?" But Elijah replied, "You shall see with your own eyes, but you shall not eat from it." So Elijah said, "Thus saith the Lord, by this time tomorrow, food's going to be cheap." All right, let's go back to economics class 101. So what happens when we got a bunch of stuff and not enough money? It goes on clearance, doesn't it? Okay. Why is that Christmas trees always go on sale after Christmas time? Because there's too many of them. And so the store thinks, we know if I mark this down, somebody will get the little bit of money they got left over from Christmas and buy that tree for next year, do an upgrade. You know, you see, when there's too few items and too much money, we have inflation. When we got plenty of items and little money, we got clearance, it goes on sale. And so Elijah says tomorrow, food will be on clearance. You'll get a little bit for nothing. And that general says, well, even the Lord make a window from heaven. That won't work. And Elijah says, you shall see with your own eyes, but you won't eat it. Now, I think if Elijah said that to me, I'd be very concerned. Well, what happens next? Verse 3 talks about these four guys who had leprosy. That's like having cancer in the 60s or AIDS in the 80s or maybe today having Alzheimer's. It was a death sentence. And they said, well, we're going to die one way or the other. We might as well just go outside the city and go to the enemy, turn ourselves in. Maybe at least they might give us a meal before they kill us. And so it says they rose at twilight to go to the camp. But when they got to the camp, no one was there. What happened? Verse 6 says, for the Lord had caused Armenian army to hear the sound of chariots and of horses and the sound of a great army. So they said to one another, the king of Israel has hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to fight against us. And so they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, leaving the camp just as it was, and fled for their lives. So in other words, at the middle of the night, the army woke up and heard that noise. What is that? And someone said, I hear the sound of chariots and soldiers. The king of Israel must hire out the Egyptian Hittites, fight against us. We better get out here while we can, boys. And they took off in a stampede. Well, who were these chariots and horses and soldiers? Well, remember last Sunday, we talked about how when the enemy came after Elisha, the prophet, his servant said, oh, master, we're surrounded by the enemy. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see what I see. And when the servant opened his eyes, he saw what? Chariots of fire, horses of fire, all around the mountain. It was God's divine army, the army of hosts, there protecting Elisha. And what happened in this story was, in the middle of the night, God's army came in, moved around that army. They couldn't see them, but they could hear them. And doing so, they got scared, took off running, and left. And verse 8 says, these men came to the edge of camp, they went to the tent, ate and drank, carried off silver and gold and clothing, and went back and hid them. Then they came back, entered their tent, carried off things from it, went and hid them. And so, these guys, like we won the lotto. They're eating food and getting gold and silver and clothing, going back and forth. But listen to this, verse 9. Then they said to one another, what we are doing is wrong. This is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until morning light, we'll be found guilty. Therefore, let's go and tell the king's household. Their conscience pierced and said, boys, we can't sit here and eat all this. And their folks inside that city starving to death. We got to tell the king what happened. And so they go to the gate and says, and hey, the enemy has left us. The general said, king, we got four lepers. They said the enemy's pulled out. The king said, that can't be true. Why they pull out for? And so the king sends out some of his horsemen to check out the area. Now, can you imagine being part of the search committee for that? You're riding a horse. But as they go tent by tent by tent, they're empty. And listen to this. And so they went after them as far as the Jordan. And the whole way was littered with garments and equipment the Armenians had thrown away in their haste. In other words, the enemy was so scared, so frightened, that he took off that shield and threw it down. He took off that breastplate and threw it down. He threw off that sword. He said, I don't need these weapons of war. I just need speed. I want to run quickly. And so what happened? The people went out and plundered the camp. And then, bless his heart, verse 17. Now the king had appointed the captain on whose hands he leaned to have charge of the gate. He's the guy directing traffic. And the people trample him to death in the gate, just as the man of God has said when the king came down to him. So in other words, the guy who said earlier, oh, prophet, even there were windows in heaven, that wouldn't work. And Elijah said, you will see it, but you won't need it. The king told this man, all right, you're in charge of the gate. Open the gate and let the people out. And bless his heart, that's kind of like a on Black Friday at Walmart, or when they open those doors and all those crazy people come running in there. That poor guy had to open the gate, and here all those people came running out. He fell over and got trampled on. And so for a few seconds, he saw all the food outside, but he didn't get to eat it. He got trampled because of his own disbelief. Now, what about us this morning? When things get sticky and hard, where do we turn to? See, the answer did not come from the king or the Hittites or the Egyptians. The answer came from God. God, in his goodness and mercy, sent out his heavenly host and scared off that foreign army. And in doing so, left behind a wealth of food and treasure and clothing. And then what about those four lepers? Here's guys who are hopeless and discouraged, and they thought, well, we've got nothing to lose. And so they take a step of courage, go outside, and hit the jackpot. All that food, gold and silver. But then their conscience stirred them and said, what we are doing is wrong. This is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait till morning light, we will be found guilty. What's another word for good news? Gospel, right? As Christians, we have a responsibility to be sharing the good news. For the lepers, the good news was, hey, the enemy has left and there's food. You can go out and eat. You don't have to do these desperate measures. For us, the gospel message is that Jesus came. He was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. We celebrate that at Christmas time. He grew up. He lived the human life, but did so without sin. He was baptized, did many good deeds, taught many great truths. Then on Palm Sunday, he went to Jerusalem. Thursday night, he gave us the Last Supper. On Friday, he was crucified on the cross for our sins, died, was buried, and then on the third day, he rose again, proof that he was who he said he was, Son of God, and that God has indeed forgiven our sins, not based on anything we've done, but based on through the triumph, death, burial, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the good news that the world needs to hear. And notice it talks about the light. In other words, it was still dark in the city, and these men were going in to bring in the good news. And I was thinking about how we live in a world of spiritual darkness. Folks don't know right from wrong, confused. And they're looking for all sorts of answers in all the wrong places. As Christians, we got to be like those lepers and walk into that darkness and bring them the good news, the light. The good news that we serve a risen Savior, that we are followers of Jesus Christ. That God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That Christ died for his sins, and on our third day rose again according to Scripture. That is good news. So my encouragement for you this morning is, one, when you're facing difficult times and the enemy surrounds you and you're not sure your needs will be met, be sure to put your faith and trust in God and not in human beings. And then secondly, like those lepers, we need to be willing to share the good news to a world in spiritual darkness. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right.